That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome, folks, to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this, it's a brisk and breezy Saturday morning, December 31st. 2016. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say good morning again to you, the remnant, and thank you for joining us. And we'll have the phone lines open after a little while, but I think we've got a few things, got some prayers to pray and a few things to do first. And Jason, we'll have you start us off with that, sir.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. I pray, Father, that you just continue to guide us and direct us. Oh, Father, we call for more of your Holy Spirit into our lives. We pray with you that you deal with those that come against us, that those that fight against us, that those that war against us, Father. We hold up that shield of faith and extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one that come against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. We put on that full armor of God from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, and we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, and we ask to be forgiven of any of our sins, known and unknown. We pray that you guide us and direct us, Father. And this morning we ask for a good broadcast. We pray, Father, that you empower us, that you strengthen us, Father, and that you just keep us on the path that we are to go. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
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 Well, we have a new prayer for the Scriptures for America Getting Elite Prayer Warriors for January 2017. It's actually based on a prayer that Pastor Peters did several years ago. But as we approach the time of the inauguration and the oaths that the newly elected have to take, I think it's important. So we'll go ahead and pray that this morning to start out with. This is the preparatory prayer, and there's also an imprecatory prayer. O Lord, the old covenant allowed for a sacrifice for failure to keep an oath. Leviticus 5, 4 through 7. Jesus is our sacrificial lamb, and in his name and with his blood, cover us and forgive us and cleanse us from all sin, and specifically the sin of failing to keep our word, promises, affirmation, oaths, vows, etc. Forgive us, Father, when we, for personal benefit, have not stood for right or done right. We confess such sin now before you, both known and unknown. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us for complete cleansing. We now enter him, our rock, Jesus Christ, and put on the full holy armor of Ephesians 6 upon us. We pray a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around us and our families and around all those true Christian followers of Jesus Christ. We also pray as well for guarding, protecting angels and the backup heavenly host forces of Elijah and Elisha. Deliver us from all evil and lead us not into temptation. Use the conviction of the Holy Spirit to convict and bring to repentance those that can repent and come out of her, my people, Babylon, that is. Lead them out before your fiery wrath falls upon them. But for those that are of their father, the devil, those that roam like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, those that come only to steal, to kill, and destroy, bring them to utter destruction. And then the imprecatory prayer. O Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray what your word says, and we hold you to your word. We pray it in faith and expect it to be done. Now, Lord Jesus, we know it is not a perfect prayer, for we ourselves are imperfect. So on our behalf, take this prayer by the power of the Holy Spirit and perfect it and present it to the throne of God for us. We thank you for answering our prayer and keeping your word. On those false swearers and oath takers, bring destruction. Arrest them in their pride. Show the sin of their mouth and words of their lips. Let them know that Jesus Christ rules over all. We call for the judgment of your curses to fall upon those who are not honest, truthful, and meaningful in their oaths of office. Melt and try with your fiery wrath those who would speak deceit and lies and refuse to know you. Bring your vengeance upon them. Stop their lying mouths. Punish the wicked by bringing their ways upon their own heads. Expose and destroy the lying serpents who use the Kol Nidre oath to nullify the oaths that they take that do not suit their purpose. Expose and destroy the children of the devil who take offices but secretly swear allegiance to their father, the devil, Satan, and to the Antichrist Jesuits and the Antichrist Pope. Father, let it be time that men such as these would no longer rule over us. Remove all of those who will not have Jesus Christ rule over them. Hear our prayer as we invoke thee. Deliver our soul from the enemy and from the fear of the enemy. Shelter us from the conspiracies of wicked men. Let not any of the bloody and deceitful men live out half of their lives. Through deception and with their lies, they dig a pit for us. See to it that they fall into that pit. Set in slippery places those who feel secure in their deception, lies, conspiracies, treachery, and false oaths. Cast them down to destruction. You said you could and that you would, and so we believe your word that you will. Lord Jesus, in thy name we pray, with authority granted us this day. We call for it now to be done. As they sit up straight and gloat in their so-called high and mighty positions and fortresses, Lord, your word says in Deuteronomy 27:25, cursed is he who accepts a bribe to strike down an innocent person. You know and we know that so many use their offices and positions of power for their own benefit and to bribe the lobbyists to the will of the highest bidder rather than being concerned for the rights of your people. In the name above all other names, Jesus Christ, we pray your promise of curses upon all those that do not come to repentance. Amen.
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 So I think we should probably let people know, too, that the oath that we were talking about, that the Antichrist plead, it's called the, what is that?
Kol Nidre.
Yeah, Kol Nidre oath. This month's newsletter, The Dragon Slayer, is basically all going to be about oaths and the importance of those and the biblical understanding of that. Based on the inauguration that's coming up here, January 20th. So, Lord willing, we'll have that in your hands before that date. And appreciate if you join with us and pray this prayer this month. Just because the Lord granted us the deliverance here, what is it, 6 weeks ago on
yes.
Tuesday night, doesn't mean that we can stop praying. Doesn't mean that we're done with the battle. In fact, if you look around, you can see that the Antichrists are more riled up than ever before. And if we fall asleep as the watchmen over the house of Israel, then I believe God will allow this nation to slip back to where it was.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, definitely not a time to just kick back and say, well, it's done, because it's not done. It's just it's a new chapter. It sure seems like we've talked about that, and it seems like that there is just a different spirit in the land among the people. You know, as we're reading through our Bible, we should wrap it up today, folks. We encourage you today to read Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and also to read the book of Revelation, chapter 22. It's the last instructions that God gave his people in the Old Testament, and it's also the last word in the New Testament. We encourage you to do that. You know, even back in Zechariah 13, a couple of quick scriptures that I think tie in with that feeling, like you said, John, that deliverance that it seems like we've had in this country, that second chance. It's not the end, but it seems that way. It's a second chance. It's a change for the better, not that false change hopey thing that that the Antichrist has promoted for the last 8 years. But in Zechariah 13, verse 1 through 1 and 2, it says, "In that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem, for sin and for impurity. It will come about in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. And I will also remove the prophets," and that means the unclean and the lying prophets, "and the unclean spirit from the land." And I think we've seen that, John, in the last 6 weeks. I think that a lot of the names of the idols have been cut off, and that the unclean spirit has been removed. And I think that's why, as people have called in and written in and have shared on many of these programs, that it seems like there's a different spirit in the land. Because Zechariah 13 says that God himself says he will do that. And I think he has.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful to realize at this point what we have at best is a Judeo-Christian running the country here in January 20th. And without complete repentance, without going into that watery grave of baptism, without being born again of the water and the Spirit, I don't think we're going to see the deliverance that we may be expecting. So I think that's what we need to be praying for, is really to put the fear of God in those people who are taking the positions of government, and that government would rest on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And that the snakes that continually infiltrate even good men would be blocked. And if they don't do what they said they would do, and if they don't uphold the laws of God, then remove them as well.
Amen.
That's what I think.
Amen. Well, and I think I don't know if it was you, but I think it was that brought out, and maybe in last month's newsletter or either from the pulpit on a Sunday morning, that, you know, revival is not the president's responsibility. Revival is not his job to do. Revival is our responsibility. Revival is the job of the church, of the body, to pray for and to promote. I think I've got that right. You know, that's what we have to do. So if we want revival, guess what? We have to work for revival. We have to pray for that. We have to direct the people in, you know, the sin that's there, the sin that needs to be repented of, and then the returning to God, which is what revival is, for this land, for this nation.
Yeah, you can see just this year, around this time of year, Christmas, you know, for so long the political correct mob has been pushing season's greetings or happy holidays and all that, but I don't know if you noticed, but there was a whole lot more people saying Merry Christmas than I can remember in a lot of years. And while I was back east for Christmas, we went to a Lutheran church, and the preacher there was interesting because typically those services are the candlelight New Year's Eve services packed. I mean, because everybody has, they light a candle on Silent Night, you know, and it's the priesters show up for that, the Christmas and Easter goers. But anyways, there was about half the people that usual in there. And after the pastor got done with the sermon, I understood why. And I went up to him afterwards, and I shook his hand, and I said, it's nice to see that you understand that God's calling his churches and his people to order, and that no longer will he tolerate churches of Laodicea or lukewarm Christians. And he looked at me, and he said, well, thank you, brother. And because of that, though, because he's preaching that there needs to be repentance, because he's preaching that God's calling his church to order, and no longer can we hide behind the word grace and be accepted and tolerant of sin, there's a mass exodus of people from that church who, just like 2 Timothy says, they don't want to endure sound doctrine. They want to have their ears tickled, and they appoint the teachers that will tickle their ears. But he's in a dangerous position, and he realizes that, because if you've listened to Pastor Peters for years, he'll tell you when he first was convicted to be a preacher, he told his wife Sherry that, well, we're going to have to be like Paul and make tents and preach, because I'm not going to have a church control what I'm able to bring to the remnant, to his people. And he did that, and there was a great price to be paid for that. But what he did was he traveled around the country, and the Lord brought that following of the remnant, the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ, those that would not bow their knee to Baal and boldly proclaim no king but King Jesus. And that's the remnant that's there today. But I think it's important to realize that we have a greater opportunity than ever before to reach those that are lost, those that are searching, those that know that they've been lied to, those that know there's something wrong. And that's what we need to realize and to take as the greatest benefit from what the deliverance of a nation we witnessed 6-8 weeks ago. Like you said, the revival is the job of the people. And it started, but whether it continues and whether it spreads like a wildfire across this country depends on whether the true Christian followers of Jesus Christ stand up and do their job.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I think it was important, too. I mean, not to forget, going back a couple of months, in November we posted a prayer and we put out the call to prayer. And
you know, I believe that that prayer that starting at the beginning of November was extremely powerful, because I saw a lot of things in personal life and different things, and I believe that that was a prayer that was answered on personal levels. I believe that prayer was answered on national levels, and I think that that was a very significant prayer that, you know, really got us, kind of got the ball rolling. You know, in that prayer, it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap," Galatians 6:7. And that it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Father, we know that your word gives us multiple witnesses, that there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be revealed, Luke 12:2.
Amen.
That your eyes are on their ways, they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity concealed from my eyes, Jeremiah 16:7. That because of these promises, we, your people, are not to be afraid of them, for nothing is concealed that will not be uncovered, nor hidden that will not be made known, Matthew 10:26. Heavenly Father, make them fully aware we must all appear before the judgment seat, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Lord Jesus, not really knowing how to pray, we, your people who are called by your name, the remnant, you taught us to pray a point appropriately titled the Lord's Prayer. And we prayed the Lord's Prayer in there, and we prayed the pistol prayer and the rifle prayer. And very, very, very powerful prayers. And we saw these prayers answered.
Amen. Amen.
Yep.
So, I mean, just because you get one deliverance, I mean, sometimes, you know, and what the one thing is sometimes you get a deliverance and you have things happen, and then you don't know what to do with it, or you don't know how to do it, deal with it. And I think that that's why the second prayer is important. But, you know, I thought a lot about obedience, you know, here recently. And I think that, you know, we have as a nation is as what you would call a disobedient nation. I thought about you know, the scripture found in Exodus 19:5. It says, "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, keep my covenants, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." And, you know, as you think about it, you think about obedience. I wrote down a definition of obedience. Let me see if I got it. It's still here. But it was, I guess I didn't save it. But if you think about obedience, you know, obedience, when God tells you to do something, okay, you're not supposed to murder anybody. Okay, well, you know, that can be a really easy easy one to keep.
Yes.
Why? Because it really doesn't affect us.
Right.
But you know, when it comes to not stealing or not, everybody has different areas that they struggle with. But when it comes to tithing, you're supposed to tithe 10% of your money. I mean, that's one that a lot of people have a tough time with, to tell you the truth. You're supposed to tithe 10%. Well, that one's a little harder on them, you know. But if it was easy, I mean, which one is easier to keep? Well, you know, for some people, it's going to be easier to keep one, and then it's going to be harder to keep the other one. It's like, and you think about a relationship, you know, people talk about, you know, my wife is so obedient. Well, your wife, maybe you don't ever require anything of her. I was counseling a man this week, and he was telling me about, you know, he had the most obedient wife until he asked her to do something. And he asked her to do something, and then she was the most disobedient wife that she'd never do anything that he said or asked her to do. Well, you know, it's interesting when you think about it, because, you know, obedience, oh yeah, you can go along and you can be real obedient until all of a sudden that you're granted something that you don't want to do. Because you have no desire to do it, you don't like to do it, you don't want to be different. And that's what true obedience is when you obey, when you do what you're told to do, even though you don't want to. And I think that's really where the rubber meets the road on a lot of things.
Yeah,
does that make
agree.
Sense?
Yes.
I would agree.
Yes.
Going back to the prayer for, it was November, like you said, we started in November, but it was important, I think, that we the remnant, continue to pray that through December based on as soon as the election was over in November, you could see the Antichrist rising up against the delegates.
Yes.
And but I believe that that's another prayer that was answered too, because I mean they even went to the point of making death threats to a lot of these people, and some received tens of thousands of emails. I saw one picture of one of the delegates who printed out all of the emails that he received, and just had a bonfire of all of the papers that were sent to him with threats to him and his family and all that. But if I remember right, looking at the actual vote in the Electoral College, the only ones that defected were some Democrats that would not vote for Hillary and basically voted for Bernie Sanders. But all of the ones in the Republican states that won, that Donald Trump won, had stayed true to the vote that they had made. So,
yeah, well, that's why I want to encourage people to keep praying that prayer.
Amen. Amen. It's amazing what happens. We say that. It's amazing what happens when God's people pray. He answers their prayers. He does. He's always said that all the way back, 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says that when my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, call out to me and pray, guess what? He hears. He answers. And absolutely, he has done that. He answered it on a national level. I like how you presented that, Jason, but also on a personal level. You know, he does, because that's where it has to start. For it to work on the national level, it has to work on the personal level as well. And God does. You know, he answers the prayers of his people. But so many people, whether they're just too busy, and we've talked about that this past year, or they're too prideful, or they just don't know, because they haven't been taught, because they've been removed from their God for a generation or two. Because our enemy has done so well in their deception and in their, you know, filling our lives with everything but returning to our God. But when his people do, when they hear the truth, and you know, there's new members of the remnant that are still hearing the truth on a daily basis, and are coming to the realization. We've got had one just this week from Toronto, Canada. A shortwave listener, and said, you know, I've been listening to your broadcast, and I need to get baptized. What can I do? So we've got him on that path, and praise the Lord for that, you know, because that remnant is out there. What did Pastor used to call them? Truth junkies. Truth junkies.
Yeah.
Kind of like a drug junkie. Yeah. Just give me another hit, right? I just want the truth. I don't care what it costs. I'll do anything for it. I just want the truth. Give me the truth. And that's what Pastor did. And, you know, we do our best to continue with that, to get the truth out there. Because when you see the truth of the Scripture, it's not near as complicated as many of these churches make it out to be.
Yeah, when you think of the confusion that came into the camp of the enemy, even back, you know, 10 years ago when we started singing and praying the mighty weapon, the pistol, and the rifle prayers, you can just watch Babylon unraveling yes. over the years. So all of these prayers that, you know, all the imprecatory prayers and the preparatory prayers that Pastor Peter's put out over the years, and we do our best to try to come up with a powerful prayer for the beginning of the month that kind of suits the needs of our people. And I think there's a lot more that pray those prayers than we think. You know, a lot of them, there's a lot of people that listen to the broadcast and never call in. And,
yes.
And but they'll text you or something, or those, or you'll get an email later on that, hey, we appreciate what you're doing, you know, this and that. And that encouragement is helpful, especially in a world that pretty much attacks everything that you do. But I also wanted to share, Lord granted me and my family a miracle this week. Basically, excuse me, on Wednesday night, about 10 o'clock at night, my youngest son was driving home with my youngest daughter in the front seat, and apparently had dozed off for a second, and woke up to his sister screaming right before he hit a telephone pole head-on, and cut it right off, drove through that, spun the truck, which was a three-quarter ton GMC crew cab, about as heavy-duty of a truck as you can get. If you study the frames on the different types of vehicles, I don't think there's a stronger frame than the one in three-quarter and one-ton GMC trucks, because they're boxed. But anyways, spun sideways, clockwise, hit the railroad tracks, launched up in the air, rolled three times, and then right through the big steel railroad crossing gates that you see with the lights flashing and the gate that blocks the road. And if you look at the truck, it's hard to figure out that it was a GMC crew cab pickup. But by the grace of God, they were seat belted into their seats, laying on its side, and crawled out of the driver's side window. And by then, the ambulance had got there, and the fire trucks and everything else. When we got the call, our son was in the ambulance and called and just said that he was fine and his sister was fine, and so we came right away. But even the paramedics were like, "Are you sure you were in that truck? Because I'll tell you, they didn't have a scratch on them. You look at the pictures and the windshield that's blown out and the side windows, and I don't know if there's glass left in it." And not to have a scratch, not to have glass in their eyes, not to even be dirty, not even dusty from when it rolled through, because it's still pretty dry out here in the West. And the testimony that is, and the two sheriffs that were there, and they were like, "It's a miracle," you know, and the state trooper, "It's a miracle." Normally you come up on a wreck like this and you're giving the parents bad news. And
I went down to the towing company. A buddy of mine owns a towing company, and I called them and told them that truck was coming in. And I called them in the morning. First thing is, they're like, "Everybody okay?" And they said, "Are they going to make it?" And I said, "They walked away without a scratch." When I got down there, and you know, he just shook his head, and he'd been towing trucks, you know, since he was a teenager, and the guy is 70 years old. Just shook his head and said, "You know, you don't see wrecks like that without being fatalities or where everyone is a fatality."
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, John, I think my daughter talked to your daughter yesterday a little bit about it, either yesterday or, I think yesterday, or maybe Thursday, and she said your daughter mentioned something about that when it happened, she kind of went back. It was like her seat went back, and she said something like she felt like she was just cocooned in a cocoon or something like that. It's secondhand, but I know my daughter said something like that. And I thought, you know, there's the loving arms of Jesus that were around your children during that.
Absolutely.
And, you know, again, like we said earlier, God answers our prayers. You know, our pastor taught us to pray that Lord's Prayer every day, and to pray on the full armor of God, to put on the full armor of God ourselves, and to pray it on our families, our wives, and our children, and He answers our prayers. It's as simple as that. I'm looking at one of the pictures you sent, and there's a tire beside the truck that's not on a rim.
And yeah, the rim exploded when it hit the tracks.
Yeah, and so here's the tire. Just, it looks like a tire from a tire shop. You know, just sitting there, no rim, no nothing, sitting 5 or 10 feet away. And yeah, the vehicle, I can tell you, you know, we've responded to wrecks out here, and the vehicle didn't look near this bad, and certainly had fatalities. Or, you know, you're closing the road and calling the helicopter in. Praise God that He answers our prayers.
When they flipped the truck over and I looked at it, and I saw that the passenger seat was laid back, And I asked Hannah, I said, did you have the seat back? And she said, no. But if you look at the pictures, the roof right above where she would have been had the seat been all the way up forward was crushed down to the point of it may have broke her neck or who knows. But just like she says, that seat was laid back. And she, there's no doubt that there was a cocoon of protection in that truck for the paramedics to say, are you sure you were in that truck? You know, they couldn't believe it. They just could not believe it. They kept looking for broken bones or, you know, anything. And do you have a headache? You know, do you have this and that? They didn't even hardly have a headache. But I think the testimony of that is just huge. And everybody who was on that site that night understood that there is a God and that there is miracles and that prayers work. And for some reason that night, just before Wednesday night prayer meeting, I was up in the room that I usually pray and do the broadcast and stuff. And the Lord had me hit my knees and just pray that full armor of God over my family again. I didn't know why at the time, but I sure did a little later that night. So let it be a lesson to all of us parents as well, the importance of those prayers of protection, yes. A hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light. You know, we kind of laugh sometimes maybe when we say, hey, can you pray for my trip? Maybe we don't laugh, but I don't think we take it as serious as we can. And we pray that angels be above you, below you, to the left, to the right, front, and behind you. My brother, close brother Howard in Alaska, every time that I speak to him or he texts me, he always says, angels be about you and your family. And right after that, I texted him and I said, well, brother, the Lord heard your prayers because angels were about my family. And the other thing that people don't realize is that this is very close to the date when Pastor Peter's only begotten son had a wreck similar to that. And the trucks looked pretty close to the same, didn't they, Jason?
It does, yeah.
Yes.
And for my wife to get that call at this time of year was devastating just for the phone call. But many of you know the story that he didn't survive that wreck. But the other thing I wanted to say was,
it shows you too is be obedient to that when you're compelled and when the Spirit comes upon you and tells you to hit your knees and pray for your family or pray for this person or pray for that person. I mean, how would that have been if things wouldn't have turned out this way and John had that? And the Spirit had told him to hit your knees and pray, and he had the attitude, well, I'll do it later. That is part of being obedient right there, too.
Absolutely. You know, that scripture that tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit, you know, that we can be obedient to that. And I think that's a great example. I'm glad you mentioned that, Jason. Man, that hits home. It does. When you hear that, that call, or you sense that, you may not hear it as in an audible voice, but you know, you sense that. And if it's pray, be receptive to it. Be receptive to it. Hear when the Holy Spirit talks, when the Holy Spirit moves. And absolutely. And if we talk about being obedient in the little things so that we can be obedient in the big things. But you know, normally it's the other way around. We'll boast that, oh, we'll be obedient to big things. We'll do this or we'll do that. But it's the little things that prepare us for those big things. And absolutely, John, what a testimony. But listen and hear and obey.
I sent an email out to everybody that I work with. And normally, you know, you pick and choose, right? Mm-hmm. Those that you know are going to ridicule you, those that might turn and render you asunder, and you don't want to cast your pearls before swine, but I didn't care. I just, everybody that I work with, I sent the email and I sent the pictures, and the title of the email was Miracle. And I explained to them that there's nothing but the grace of God and those angels that he put in that cab. But the thing that was interesting was yesterday afternoon, my boss, who is not a Christian, and I'm starting to just, you know, give him a little bit of salt here and there, and he's starting to see it because he can see the things in my life that are happening and the things that we go through. And that's a lot of times that's why we go through those tests and trials and tribulations, is we still stand on Romans 8:28 that the Lord works all things for good for those that love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose. But he was going down to Florida to the Keys to do some diving. And I just, I said, angels be about you, and Happy New Year, you know, and all that. And he sent back another text, and he says, I want those angels that were in the truck with your family. And I sent him back, and I said, well, they might be a little bit bruised and beaten up,
yeah,
but I'm sure they're ready for service. But, you know, for him to say that, not being a Christian, what does that tell you? And then he said, you know, I almost lost a friend the last time we dived in a cavern, in a dark cavern, got lost. He said, so I appreciate you praying those angels around me.
Yeah.
So that's the testimony. You know what? It's worth losing the stupid truck just for that. The testimony from those pitchers and those children being, just like you said, a cocoon of protection around them.
Well, and that's when I was talking with one of the men that worked with you, you know, he said he got that email and he had his wife come over and they both read that email and they both cried when they read that email. Both of them had similar experiences with children in wrecks before, and you know, they just said no, there was no doubt about it. It was God looking out. It was a miracle. And we talked about it for a few minutes, and he's like, well, it's too bad that little Toyota got crumbled up so bad. And I said, no, I said, you don't understand, that was the full-size one, three-quarter-ton GMC. And he just looked at me, and he's like, I thought that was a little Toyota or something.
Yeah, no, that's what people were saying. Was that a 4Runner or something? No, that was a full-size GMC, three-quarter-ton, four-wheel drive, heavy as you can get pickup. But
praise the Lord.
God could have protected them in a Toyota 4Runner or a Volkswagen Bug. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And it blesses God when those, John, when you know, it blesses God when you send those emails out, when you share that testimony. You know, Revelation tells us that's how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that's, you know, that's why the unclean spirits are being removed from the land, because the power of God is being activated through prayer. It is.
Yep.
It is.
Well, there's no doubt that Satan had his sights set on destroying my family, but greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper.
Amen.
But I think, you know, an old wise preacher once said, not a move towards God goes unnoticed by Satan. Think about that. That's the absolute truth. The closer we get to the Lord, the more we fight Satan, the more we expose his lies and deception, the more he will come against us with the forces of hell. And if we're not prayed up, then we better get out of the fight, because there will be loss and destruction.
It is a daily fight of faith. I can remember, you know, hearing our pastor when he would be ministering to people on the phone and say, and I'm sure to each and every one of us, you know, it's a daily fight of faith. You know, it's not a, you know, hey, I've arrived, or I've done this, and now I can sit back and I'm just going to be prospered and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, it's a daily fight of faith. And that's why he taught as we did, and that's why we do our best to teach as we do, and to follow those teachings as well. And again, it you know, that's kind of, I guess, the theme this morning, is that those prayers that he taught us to pray, that he was taught to pray, and you know, but we have that free will. You can pray him or not, and that's that obedience. That's that obedience. If he said, you know, it says pray the Lord's Prayer. Guess what? Pray the Lord's Prayer. If we've been led to pray on the full armor of God, and we've seen time and time and time again how that has protected ourselves, our children, our families, our friends, and, you know, we are to do it. And we did it yesterday. Guess what? We do it again today. We do it again today. And tomorrow, we do it again tomorrow. It is. That's part of that faithfulness. That's part of being faithful and being obedient. John, you had something a couple years ago, it comes to mind, that was in the newsletter. It was called Push. And I think we put a little caricature of a guy pushing against a big rock. And the story that goes with it is pray until something happens. You know, we don't pray once and then that's it. We are to be praying in the Spirit at all times. We are to be a praying people, praying for our family, praying for our leaders. You know, the Bible tells us to pray for kings, pray for those that are in authority, so that we may lead a peaceful and tranquil life. And we have a second chance to do that as well, to pray for our leaders. And I had a note here about the oaths, about, you know, keeping our vows, keeping our oaths, and don't we? And I know it's kind of addressed in this newsletter we're working on, but you know, as oaths and promises are made in this, you know, after this election year, but as the people begin to take office here in the next few weeks, this month, this next month, and John, you had mentioned it. You know, isn't it our responsibility to hold them to their word? To let them, you know, to be praying for them for sure, but to hold them to their word and say, listen, you said you were going to do this. You need to do it. Just a thought that I had, because I know you've mentioned it several times, I think, in the last, you know, since this November, that yeah, they make their oaths, they say, this is what we're going to do. Isn't there a responsibility on the remnant to hold those people to those oaths, I guess is the question.
Yeah, the thing is, most people don't even understand that we're in a spiritual warfare, that it's good versus evil, and that we're at a crossroads, you know, at the end of an age. It sure looked like we were heading down the fulfillment of Revelation, but God can postpone that destruction as long as his people are obedient, you know. And it's sad in a lot of ways that people don't understand. If we just kept his laws, his commandments, and his statutes, we wouldn't have to worry about droughts. We wouldn't have to worry about famine. We wouldn't have to worry about earthquakes and fires and pestilence and all of these things that have come upon us, the birth pangs that we're witnessing, because God told us we didn't have to. If we would just be obedient, we would live tranquil lives. It's hard for people to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But they've been so far removed from true Christianity, you know, that's the thing. I think it's interesting, too, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed just in the last month or so, is people are starting to realize that these churches are playing church, and I've heard it. I've heard people say it, and you never heard it before, but they're saying, yeah, it just seems like we're playing church. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what we've been trying to tell you for years. But and some of the pastors are starting to see that, too, so I think it's important that we lift those up, too, those that the Lord's removing the scales from their eyes and unstopping their ears, and protects them from the elders and the elderettes that do the will of their father, the devil, as well. You know, the religious system has been infiltrated. It was one of the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And I think it's done more devastation to this land of the free and home of the brave, JERUSALEM, than any one of the other ones. The taking over of the media, that definitely did some damage. Taking over of the education system did a lot of damage. But look at the damage that's been done through the infiltration of the churches. Like our pastor would tell us, it was the preachers would basically show the people how to vote based on the morality of the candidate.
Yes.
That's gone.
Yeah, to the point that so the church won't lose their 501c3 nonprofit tax-free status. They won't preach about politics. They won't let that enter into their teaching. And that's just as wrong as it could be. You know, the Bible's 60% about civil government, how we are to be, how we are to interact with other nations and with each other. And that message is to come from the prophets, is to come from the teachers and the preachers. And when their hands are tied, or when they, you know, will not speak out against evil for fear of losing their tax-free status, you know, because they're taught that in the seminaries that have been infiltrated, then it's not the truth that's coming out from the pulpits, but the political correctness of the day. And that's not biblical truth.
Yeah, that leads me to a story. I was looking in preparation for this morning and noticed that in Iowa, you know, somewhat the Bible Belt, at least there used to be a lot of Christians there, they passed a law, state law, about discrimination against gender or sex and all the other ones, but now they're determining whether or not they're going to hold churches liable to follow those laws as well, and a couple of churches, local churches, have filed an injunction against it before the law, before they rule on that aspect of it. But I think what's interesting is, remember back, I don't know, probably a year ago, maybe longer, it's hard to even tell what time goes these days, but in Houston, when that Dyke mayor proclaimed that you will submit your sermons to the city council before you preach them. And everybody thought, well, that can never happen. That can never happen. Yeah. This isn't a Supreme Court ruling. This isn't in a liberal state. This is in Iowa.
Yep.
That they're talking about censoring the sermons in the churches.
Well, seems like I remember a couple of apostles saying one time, I've read it, we must obey God rather than man. And I think that ties right in, John, with what you said about God's not going to put up with the lukewarm churches anymore, or the lukewarm people. So it's like, choose you this day. Choose you this day. You know, those pastors in Houston, some of them said no. Some of them said, no, I'm not giving you my sermons. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes.
I don't know if you saw, did you see there, Jason, in Connecticut, apparently right after Sandy Hook, they had passed some laws saying that they grandfathered in AR-15s and weapons that they deemed assault weapons, which was anything that had a magazine over 10, and it had to be registered by just the end of the year. And it's a lot like, I don't remember, was it a year or two ago, was it in Pennsylvania where they passed the same kind of ordinance? And,
yep.
And they said that there's like probably 80 or 90% of the people who have not, and they have not registered their weapons or turned in their magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. And they don't know what to do. They just don't know what to do.
It says that it was estimated that 98% of the people rejected it and would not comply.
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. There's finally those that are putting their tongue on the roof of their mouth and rolling out the word no.
No. No. Well, guys, we got
a long time ago.
Phone line's ringing. I think we got a couple minutes here. We can take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. That was a great story about the wreck and the outcome. Brought my spirits up. Talking about the Babylonian kings at the beginning of the program just sort of reminded me that this current emperor, new emperor, has no clothes. But I was for everything he's done. I mean, he's just basically going back. And everything he's promised already. He's not even in office. But I was thinking about...
Yeah, but that could be wise as a serpent, too, you know. If he came out as strong as he did during the... before the election, the Antichrist forces of hell would be coming against him tenfold. So we need to at least... I don't want to limit what God can do and what the power of prayer can do.
Oh, yeah.
I think we just need to watch and see what happens.
But I think
I'll be honest with you.
I think praying for our nation is probably more of a, you know. I was looking at this Luke. I don't know. It's probably occurred to a million people, but this Luke 8. It was around Christmas time, and the story of the shepherds, you know, and they have an experience that's almost similar to Paul's experience. I mean, they're not blinded or anything, and they go out and they're basically spreading the word about the Savior. Can be likened almost to preachers. I mean, that's it. And they just want to get this. They just want to get this particular word out. And when we see at Christmas time, when we see, oh, you know, they have these crushes, these displays, and they always have the three kings prominently. Well, that's not biblical, you know. I mean, the three kings weren't interested in going to see Jesus Christ. The shepherds were.
And the shepherds did, yeah. There in Luke 2, we read it, yeah.
Yes, yes, there in Bethlehem, yes, exactly. Too, so. Exactly. They went and visited. It's in Luke 2, 8 through 20 or so. And basically, mother and brother, come to the press, Luke 8, 20.
Well, Bill, buddy, we only got a couple minutes.
All right, sorry.
I appreciate the call. Have a blessed day and a blessed weekend.
You too.
All right.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Bill.
Well, guys, we
yeah,
are
another
just...
interesting point is God protected those shepherds as well.
Yes,
He sent them a different way so that they wouldn't go back to Herod.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that was the kings that came and visited. But He certainly protected them. You know, He did. He yeah. sent them out. He sent them back, and the Holy Spirit spoke. When it does, listen, for sure. Well, folks, maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you and. We're going to speak to you right now and invite you to church tomorrow. We're going to have church. First day of 2017, at least the calendar year, will be tomorrow. We invite you to come to church. There, don't think you could have a better way to start your new calendar year than to join in the assembly of the church, to hear His word read, to sing praises to God Almighty, to partake of communion, to remember what our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did for us. And to partake of the body and the blood that was shed properly in the partaking of communion. So we do invite you to do that. You can do that Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That time still holding tomorrow, Jason?
No.
Okay.
What time?
10 a.m. Mountain Time? Same time. So 10 a.m. Mountain Time. 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. Join us for church at scripturesforamerica.org. That's the website. And you can click on the live video stream and join us there. So we ask you to do that. And it'll be a blessing to us if you are. And it'll be a blessing to you if you'll do that. That's a good habit to be into. So.
Amen.
Well, again, men, thanks. And we'll see you at church tomorrow, guys. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
this country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.